individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I am your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today's a Wednesday, so a little bit of history, a little bit of economics, a little bit of family. I have a special guest with me, my oldest brother, Dana. So if near the second half of the show you hear fisticuffs happening because we've been locked in a purple padded room with each other, don't call 911. Just listen to see who wins. Anyway, Dana, how you doing?
Morning, David. Good to be here.
I'm adjusting the mic levels here. Okay. What else you? How long are you in town for?
Just for the Dave. I'd have to come up and harass you, make you buy lunch,
you and then do, I'll leave back. You do that well. You do that
this evening.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We have very similar beliefs in many things, but one of them is economics. And our politics are basically based on economics. And right now we have, what, 20 people running for governor?
Well, that's the last count. I've kind of lost count, actually.
Yeah, the notes, you can't add anymore, but they can drop out.
That's correct.
The Dahlstrom dropped out, great lady. And I like what she's doing with the Division of Elections, stopping second Dan Sullivan from getting in the race.
Well, you know, she obviously thinks she has some legal authority to do that, and we want to make sure that our elections are fair and upright and the public, in my opinion, you know, has a clear choice and they're not confused. And I think she's taken the first step in that. Obviously, the other side is going to have their opinion. And typically, a third party, the court system, will figure it out.
You know, here the Democratic Party, Democrats, are all mad because we're stopping a republic from getting in the race.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic. And I read yesterday, you know, apparently there's three attorneys that are representing the gentleman from Petersburg.
Three?
Yeah, and that's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
If he's retired, I'm kind of curious where that money's coming from. But you know, at the end of the day, the right decision will prevail, and the public will be able to make the right choices.
Hmm. When I ask everyone, first of all, I have to go through a profile with you. Are you Dana Pruse? You're not an AI Dana Pruse. You're not, you know, a fake Dana Pruse who, you know, morphed into Dana Pruse.
Well, it depends what the topic is.
I always ask everyone who comes in the room, if I had a lotto.
A what?
A lotto.
Uh-huh.
And my lotto would be the governor, the final four choices of governor, number one, two, three, and four. And if you had to choose today who your number one, number two, number three, number four, who would they be?
I'm not going there.
Oh, come on. Everyone goes there. Everyone has gone there.
No, I'm not going to go there.
What? Are you contributing to some of them?
Well, I know most of them.
Exactly.
You know, and there's no bad person. You know, obviously, I have some personal policy differences with a few of them.
Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do about that. It might change next week.
That's correct.
It's only today.
That's correct. And so I kind of look at it a little bit different. I, you know, as a businessman you know, 35 years, 40 years making payroll and paying taxes and whatnot. I kind of look at it a little bit different.
Constructing things in Alaska.
Yeah, building things. But, you know, there's a lot of folks that do that.
Yeah.
You know, my number one resource or the most valuable thing that, you know, any business has is your people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of look at it, you know, when I go in that voter's booth, my opinion is not necessarily who's the nice guy, who do I like? Who's a Republican? Who's a Democrat? Who's an independent? It's who do I think can actually run a $13 billion budget, put qualified people in place to run departments and give the deliverables to the residents of the state. And when you, you know, you kind of look at that, and I look at it in that perspective, $13 billion is a lot of money. Two-thirds of it, I believe, is dedicated to certain programs already. And so you have to, you know, in my mind, I think of who in their four-year term, maybe eight, but four, can position the state for progress, for prosperity, for the people of Alaska. And so a popularity contest sometimes doesn't sway me.
Yeah.
What sways me is who has the historical knowledge, who's got a proven track record, and who I think can run a $13 billion budget. There's not
corporate corporation.
There's not a lot of folks out there, and then you throw in the fact they have to then work with 60 folks in the legislature, at least 21 House members and 11 senators to get policies in place to betterment of the state. That's how I look at it. That's how I look what the governor is. It's different than a senator, legislator, mm-hmm. you know, in Juneau. Even our U.S. senators, I look at it different because they're actually not appropriating or running dollars for the benefit of the people. They're setting policy.
Yeah.
They're approving budgets, but they don't execute the budget. And I think that's, in my mind, is very important. So when you say who's the top four or whatever, you know, I'm still trying to figure out who I think can run that budget.
Well, that's not what I asked you.
I know.
Well, I just want to know who you think the top four are right now.
That's
I'm not going to ask you who your number one vote's going to be for. You only get one vote in this ranked choice voting.
I think you should ask polling people, because the polling people.
I ask everyone who steps into the purple padded room.
Yeah, I'll send you the latest poll results, and you can go from there.
Hello, my name is Dana, and I don't want to upset the eventual winners.
No, it's just you know. Your vote is a precious thing that we should.
It is.
We should really, you know, take seriously. There's a lot of opportunities in the state if the folks that are actually running the state have the ability to execute on them, and you know that's important.
Mm-hmm. How has the state of Alaska, you know, on the budget last year? They didn't get the capital budget out till late, and that seemed like it really put a lot of things behind schedule.
Yeah, I think there's two things, and this is again my own personal opinion. You know, when the governor vetoed the matching 70 or 90 million to the federal match on the STIP program, that we're paying for that now because that work wasn't available to go out because we have to match.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that there's a couple of big state projects that started out at a certain dollar amount and has grown tremendously over that original concept, what the budget was. And so that is taking, you know, capital dollars to finish those projects up. And the first one I would point to is Cooper Landing Bypass.
Yeah.
You know, that's a 10-mile stretch, that big bridge that they're putting down there on the Sterling was supposed to be $350 million. You know, rumor has it could hit $1 billion. Well, that money's got to come from someplace.
Yeah.
And the state has to figure that out. Well, maybe they're taking it from other projects. I know in my business, we do some work for the DOT. You know, there's very few jobs to bid that are not either very, very big or maintenance contracts. Mm-hmm. And so 2026 is, we're paying for the 2025 problem.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have my brother Dana in the station here with me today. I'm inflicting him in the purple padded room. And we'll be back after these messages if you want to call in. 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Parents, tired of conversations that go nowhere?
How was your day?
Fun.
With conversation starters from parenting.org, you can turn fine into fun.
What was the funniest thing that happened today?
I was sitting next to Piper at lunch, and she had this, like, chicken fish patty thing.
Text Convo to 51550 for weekly conversation starters, from silly to serious. and connect more with parenting.org from Boys Town.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. This is Lori Prox of KBAK Radio in Valdez. A lot of excitement this weekend in the Valdez Halibut Derby. Shane Miller of Fairbanks reeled in a 184.6-pound halibut Friday to take the lead in the Valdez Halibut Derby, and his fish stayed in the lead through the end of the Halibut Hullabaloo tournament. Miller won $1,000 cash for catching the largest halibut during the tournament June 12th through 21st, and won the first-place weekly prize in the Valdez Halibut Derby. If Miller's fish stays in the lead through the end of the Derby September 6th, he'll win $10,000 for first place in the regular Derby. In 2022, Jeremy Smith of North Pole took home the top prize in the Halibut Derby with a halibut weighing only 170 pounds, proving a smaller fish can win the Valdez Halibut Derby. Last year, Lloyd Fanter of Eagle River won the Derby with a 264.8-pound catch. Miller was fishing aboard the Devil Dog and said he was jigging for about an hour when his fish hit the line. "Corey set me up on a jig, and I was just jigging for about an hour and then hooked up," Miller said. "Then the line just started running out, and it was going and going. Next thing I know, we were pulling up this monster." Next up in Valdez, Pink Salmon. The Kids Derby is July 25th in Valdez. That will also be the start of the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby. All the information about derbies can be found at valdezfishderbies.com.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a rental boat and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, Fish Central can process your fish too. Book with Fish Central and get 10% off your processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 907-835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KBAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance of rain showers today. Otherwise, a blend of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 69. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Slight chance for showers. 48. High of 74 tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have my brother Dana in the studio here with me. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Now, Dana, you recently resigned your position being on ADA, and you were the chairman for about 10, 12 years?
Almost 13 years.
Yeah. And you're doing other things. Tell us about ADA, the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority. Let's just tell us about ADA in general.
Well, it's generally a development finance organization. So, development, whether it's stick-built buildings, offices, hotels, loan participation with the banks to help developers develop things. It's also deals with the resource development, which would, the 800-pound gorilla they're dealing with right now is Ambler Road. Put that into play. They have the ability to, direct finance, partner with developers. But at the end of the day, they have to be good stewards of the public money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm proud to say that, during my tenure there, $250 million of dividends back to the state in the last few years of my chairmanship, record profits for the organization. Its mission is to develop, but its also mission is to put long-term Alaska jobs out there for the availability for the public.
It was your idea and basically an exceptional one that you came in and had ADA buy Fairbanks Natural Gas.
Well, at the time, I believe Bill Walker was governor.
Yes.
And that we had two competing interests in the interior, none of which I thought in my mind and talking to professionals in the gas business would be successful being on their own. But if you combine the two, there's a very good chance of them being successful. So with that in mind, you know, explored the possibility and then ultimately negotiated the purchase of Fairbanks Natural Gas by Ada, and then subsequently, within I think 18 months, negotiated a sales agreement from Fairbanks Natural Gas to the Interior Gas Utility to combine the utilities into one.
Yeah, it needed to be done. Simple as that.
It does. I mean, there's more to go for, I think, for the Interior.
And at the same time, with the purchase and then the sale back to IGU, you kept the investment parameters correct of the rate of return that Ada needs.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
So the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And again, up to 50% of any Ada statutory profits go back to the state treasury. Now, and Ada is self-funded. We don't rely on any general fund from the state.
Now, I know your personality better than most because I had to put up with it in a bedroom for many years. So you didn't take kindly to Joe Biden on ANWR, and you made sure Ada bought a lot of the leases.
Well, that play was that was a play where you know the state, the residents, majority by far majority of the folks in Alaska wanted to develop ANWR, and you know we'd you know since we were kids, you and I,
yeah,
we'd always heard about ANWR, and the possibilities.
And they're keeping the amounts secrets. The biggest secret was what's really there.
That's right, and you know to our U.S. senators' credit, they made it so that Department of Interior had to put a lease out, you know, lease options out. One of the things that we looked at with Ada, and I thought was, calling Governor Dunleavy at the time, was that we need to protect the fact that those leases can be developed. So working with DNR, we identified what we thought the best leases were that were being offered by the Department of Interior in ANWR. And we put the minimum bid in, and hoping we wouldn't get it, hoping that private industry would outbid us. But we wanted to protect the state's rights.
But the Biden administration was letting everyone know in the private enterprise that we're not going to go ahead and bid, but we're not going to let you anything.
That's right.
So you had the only bids.
We had the only bids. Yeah.
On how many of the leases?
Like
11 out of 18?
No, I don't think it was that many. Maybe seven.
Oh.
Seven of them, and actually, quite frankly, they were the closest to the existing leases that were on the other side of the ANWR line to the west. So, but again, it was preserving the rights and hopefully at some point in time, which maybe sooner than later, Ada then can parlay those leases into the private industry, let the people that know the business, oil and gas, do their thing, and ultimately the state gets its royalties and taxes and puts people to work and puts money into the general fund for services. That's the goal, and that's why we did it.
You're looking smug.
No.
Oh, well. Yeah, but I thought that was something exceptional that you did. I've spoken about that often.
Well, the thing about Ada is it has the ability to do to put some policies and some investments out there and not have to go through, you know, a whole bunch of different channels in order to get something done.
You know, there's always a fight to continue on with what you do. And we had one of our local legislators here, Ashley Carrick of District 30, House member of District 35. She came out with the Ada Accountability Act and really put out, I don't even know if it got a hearing. It shows you the stature that Ada has with the legislature. But basically what it was is trying to put an environmentalist oversight.
Correct. It's, you know, from time to time, there'll be, shots at Ada through the legislative process to try to rein in on the environmental side. The environmental groups try to limit Ada's ability to develop natural resources, which is a critical component for the state to pay its bills.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's expected. It happens. The problem is that, you know, Ada does very, very well Alaska Housing Finance and the Permanent Fund. Ada provides, as a C corporation that the state owns, great dividends back to the state. And it's, again, as I said before, it's self-funded. I'll give you an example. So you go to Ketchikan, and there's the Alaska dock. You know, I call it the Ketchikan dock facility, but it's called Alaska Shipyard and Dock. And it was transferred to Ada years ago with an operator that wasn't doing very well. And so we looked at, when the lease terms came up, we looked at that. They had 15 people working there, working on ships, big dry dock facility. If you had to replace it, it would be at least $250 million. And the community of Ketchikan, they were given reduced energy prices, electricity prices, taxes on the operator. Found a new operator. There's 300 people working there now, and they've got a backlog of at least 3 years working on large ships, NOAA ships, Coast Guard ships. Those are some of the tools Ada can bring to the table, and now it's essentially the largest employer in Ketchikan. So, and that's just happened in the last 12 months. But it took 3 years to get it there.
Yeah. You know, it seems like you have a very good executive director right now, Randy Ruaro.
Yeah, Randy's very good. He understands the process. He also understands how Juneau works in the legislative body. When you're in the private sector, you know, we're not used to going down for 3 months or 4 months and committee after committee, hearing after hearing, talking about your business. We're used to that's taking away from the opportunity to go make opportunities work, go bring business in. And so we have that, you know, you've got that, I guess.
The safe windows when they're not in session.
Well, it's not necessarily, but, you know, they have a right to know what's going on. They have a right to look at our budgets and understand where we're going, what policies we're doing. We get that. But it takes time and it's effort.
And at the end of the day, you have people with somewhat oversight of you that have no business experience.
That's correct. And so you have to educate them.
Yeah.
And that all takes time, and rightly so. And so we instigated here about 3 years ago, new legislators, we actually go to them, if they're in Anchorage, you come in the office and we give them an orientation of what Ada is, what Ada does, where we're at, what our goals are, what our mission is, what we see in the future. Obviously, we can't get into some financial details because we're dealing with public entities, and their finances are confidential. So, like a bank, you can't we're going to do a deal with Brand X and we're going to show you their financials. You know, they
can't do that.
Can't do that.
Yeah. Huh. What the heck? With Ada, you know, you said you while you were their chairman over an 12-year process, you gave dividends back to the state of $250 million.
Right. Well, we've given more money back to the state than the state has put in to Ada.
Yeah.
And Ada's been around since the 60s. But it wasn't until the 90s where the dividends started giving dividends. The state, you know, price of oil under the Knowles administration was down $8-$9 a barrel. Everybody was looking for quarters between the couch cushions. So Ada came up. They came up with some legislation that passed that up to 50% of Ada's profits go back to
state of Alaska.
State of Alaska, and the board makes that determination. Minimum 25%, maximum 50%.
Okay, Fairbanks. We're going to take a commercial break here. We're going to give you a little bit of Stevie Ray Vaughan, Crossfire. I approve this bumper music that I don't get to choose, but at least I get to approve it or disapprove it. That isn't going to change anything. Anyway, then we're going to go into some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
New York City seeing a Democratic Socialist sweep with three candidates endorsed by Mayor Zoran Mamdani winning primary contests yesterday. The mayor reacting to the election results today while participating in an event in the Bronx.
What I see these results as a reflection of are the fact that New Yorkers are hungry for a new kind of politics. They are hungry for a politics that understands working people should be at the heart of it.
House Speaker Mike Johnson calls these wins a wake-up call.
These are the times that Reagan was warning about. He was warning about communism overseas. Now it is on our own shores. And it is a very serious time, and every American needs to wake up and understand the threat.
None of these three candidates call themselves communists. Two are members of the Democratic Socialists of America. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says their victories will not reshape the House Democratic Caucus or what it's focused on. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a suspended Anchorage defense attorney pled guilty Monday in federal court to one count of possession of controlled substances with intent to distribute as part of a plea agreement with prosecutors, a significant development in one of the largest drug trafficking cases in Alaska history. Justin Facey, 46, appeared in person with his attorney for Monday's hearing. Sentencing has been scheduled for 10 a.m. on October 6th. Under the terms of the plea agreement, both Facey and the government have agreed that a sentence of no less than 10 years in federal prison is appropriate. Prosecutors agreed to dismiss the remaining four counts against him, including maintaining a drug-involved premises, possession of methamphetamine with a minor present, possession of firearms in furtherance of a drug trafficking crime, and possession of firearms by a prohibited person following sentencing. Facey's case is part of a sprawling federal investigation described by the U.S. Attorney's Office as one of the biggest drug trafficking rings harming Alaska communities in the history of our state.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Our veterans and fishermen are vital to Alaska's well-being. And Senator Dan S. Sullivan has been fighting for them. Retired Navy SEAL Lottie Shaw.
Senator Sullivan, as a veteran, goes above and beyond the call of duty. Pay raises for the active duty community and bringing about better health care for the veterans in our rural community. Senator Sullivan really leads the way on behalf of veterans in the state.
And fighting for those like Bristol Bay fisherman, Mike Ferris.
I think every fishery is affected by bycatch right now. I appreciate Senator Sullivan introducing the Bycatch Reduction and Research Act so we thoroughly understand what's going on with these fisheries, not only supporting me, but my family and future generations.
Call and tell Senator Sullivan to keep fighting to protect our veterans and fishermen. 907-271-5915. Paid for by One Nation. OneNationAmerica.org.
Hey, Grandpa, will you tell us a story about the winter of 2026? It was one of the coldest winters in 100 years. When summer came, everyone was so happy until they tried to use the AC in their car. The refrigerants in those days could leak out in extreme cold, and no one would know it until summer finally came. Then people discovered that their AC wasn't working and they were too hot. They were told they had to wait 3 to 4 months to get a service appointment at most dealerships, except for the people that went to Fairbanks Nissan. Even in those days, Fairbanks Nissan worked on all makes, not just Nissans. So if you didn't want to wait until summer was over to get your AC fixed, that was the best place to take your car, even if it wasn't a Nissan. People would just schedule their speedy appointments online at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have my brother Dana here visiting from Anchorage in the purple padded room with me. How you doing, Dana? You liking it so far?
Well, you haven't beat me up too hard yet, Dave.
It's still early.
I know.
So now, there's two very world-changing economic events that can happen to Fairbanks. One is a gas line, and one is the Ambler Road. Now, Ada is in charge of the Ambler Road, and you were recently with them and saw that a lot. Explain to everyone what the Ambler Road is and what it's confined to.
Well, it's an industrial road similar to Red Dog, only four times longer. With the DeLong Mountain Transportation Road is what they call it, which is 50 miles. It takes off the Dalton Highway, the Hall Road, just south of Coldfoot, goes west along the foothills of the Brooks Range to the Ambler Mining District, Kobuk, along the Kobuk River there. It is a road that's designed that ADA has to, in partnership with some of the bigger mines, come up with a price to build the road, which means you have to do geotech work, survey, engineering. Then they go to the construction community, obviously companies way bigger than our company, to build this thing, and they'll get a number, and then the mines actually have to pay back ADA for the road. ADA will do a revenue bond, put some cash in, I assume, and then, you know, open the mines up for long-term employment, similar to
the Red Dog.
Red Dog. That's the goal. Now, there will be caveats where local communities will be able to access their communities if it makes sense. It's a controlled access, controlled road, at least for the time being, because it's not built to
state road standards,
state or federal road standards. Yeah. So there's a lot of liability for the public if they get on it. And the other thing is the trucks that the mining companies are using are very big, very wide, very heavy, and it's a lane and a half wide road. So
you don't want a 1972 Volkswagen Beetle on this road.
You don't. You know, but it's a start, and like anything, you know, you build a trail, then it becomes a dirt road, which then becomes a highway.
Sort of like the Richardson Highway.
Then it becomes paved, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And the nice part about industrial roads like the Ambler Road is someone else is paying for it over time.
Yeah.
You know, mines don't last forever. You make sure the reclamation is good. But then you still have the access. And future generations of Alaskans will get to decide what that road ultimately will be once the mines are played out.
Hmm. How long is the engineering geotech time frame before you start making a decision on a go, no go?
The geotech work it's not me anymore. So the geotech should be done at the end of this
Dana,
year.
Even though it's not you, I have you in the seat of the purple padded room, and you have insider information. So go ahead.
Hopefully within 2 years, there'll be a number that the mines can wrap their arms around and make a business decision. Similar to the gas line, a financial investment decision. You know, but the mines are spending a lot of money on exploration right now, and they're participating with ADA on doing what we call the pre-engineering development work. So they have skin in the game
already.
Yeah,
and it's giving them the opportunity to see what they have up there.
Correct. Yeah.
So who should we be investing in the stock market?
Well, if you're like the federal government, Trump, you know. All of it, you know, trilogy.
There you go. It's been very entertaining with the gasoline. And, you know, I was always saying on the radio, there's going to be a special session just on the gas line. They're in the second one.
Yeah, it's crazy, I think. It's a, you know, I kind of look at it from a perspective of, regardless, we're getting nothing right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get something. The legislature, along with concurrence from future governors, can change what the tax regime is going to be. They've done it in the oil company 17 times.
Yeah.
So that can change. But at the end of the day, we're not getting anything. So if we're going to get eight based on what the House passed, the theoretical number I heard was, don't correct me if I'm wrong, maybe $800 million. Well, that's $800 million that goes to the budget. To me, that $800 million a year plus the full-time employment
and the royalty
is a big deal. And I go back to whether you're leaning left or right or hard right or hard left, there's nothing to fight over unless you have money in the budget. So an example would be, you know, our schools. So our schools, you know, would like more money. They would like the allocation per student higher. Well, if $800 million's coming in, there is an opportunity to do that. So to me, if you have the money to do it, you should support it. So I can see both left and right supporting the gas line. But I also believe in performance-based economics. So if they, you know, a time certain, they can't hold the state asset of gas, of the right-of-way, and the permits forever. There has to be a reasonable time frame. And there has to be incentives to make it sooner than later.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the arm wrestling match going in Juneau. But I kind of look at it from a 20,000-foot level. Whether you're left or right, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't make any difference. There's nothing to fight over unless you have money in the budget to apply it to the policies and the things you want.
So get it going, then start the fight.
Well, arm wrestling match. You know, yeah. It's not really not a fight, just what you think's important.
Yeah.
And that's the way politics should play, but with nothing in the kitty, it's you're fighting over the spilled milk.
Yeah. Why are you fighting?
Why are you doing that? And again, you know, public safety, our schools, transportation infrastructure, you know, water and sewer, what I call the basic services, that the state provides. $800 million, that's almost 20%
of our budget.
Of our budget, of yeah. the income.
Alaska, of the Alaska side.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. It's a big deal. I'm really surprised that all the school districts, all the teachers, not everybody's jumping up and down.
Saying, do it.
Do it, do it. Let's, you know, that $800 million is better than nothing. And, you know, with the commitment that, you know, future legislatures will work to allocate those dollars to where they're supposed to go.
Very true. Fairbanks, we're going to take our final commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. But mainly, people are listening by live stream at KFARradio.com. And unless I'm in my car, I'm at my house or on my computer, that's where I do it. And I'm very surprised that we're a growing entity, and we have listeners all the way into Australia. So we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's a good time for a break, and a good time to discover the wild beauty of McLaren River Lodge. Nestled along the scenic Denali Highway, McLaren River Lodge is your base camp for adventure, fishing, hiking, wildlife viewing, or just relaxing by the river. Unplug, unwind, and breathe in that fresh Alaskan air. McLaren River Lodge offers cozy cabins, hearty meals, and views you won't forget. Make your getaway one to remember at McLaren River Lodge. Book online at McLarenRiverLodge.com.
The northernmost rodeo in America, brought to you by Gene's Chrysler Dodge Ram, is coming to Fairbanks for the toughest show on dirt. Feel the adrenaline surge as cowboys and cowgirls from all over the Northwest compete for the gold buckle right here in the Golden Heart City of Fairbanks. Witness heart-pounding action with bull riding, barrel racing, team rope, and shoot dogging and more. Gates open at 3 p.m. on Saturday, July 11th, and noon on Sunday, July 12th.
It might be a little dust on my body.
Saturday after the rodeo action, Credit Union One welcomes David Lee Murphy performing live with special guests at Ken Peltier Band. Right. Get your tickets now at RodeoAlaska.com or stop by your Fred Meyer stores and save $2 off. Kids 6 and under free. It's an epic weekend filled with exhilarating rides, incredible music, food vendors, carnival rides, and more. Thanks to our partners, Mr. D's Pest Control, Glacier Garage, Alaska Airlines, and Raven Electric.
Wine glasses never fall over until you get a brand new rug. Ketchup bottles act normal till you're wearing a new shirt.
Ugh, you kidding me?
And rocks lie peacefully on the road till the day you get a brand new windshield. Then they fly up off the road and attack without mercy. That's why new windshields from Glass Doctor come with our windshield protection plan. Unlimited repairs and one replacement for 12 months. Don't just fix it, protect it. Glass Doctor. A neighborly company.
Weather brought to you by Great Harvest Bread Company. Biscuits, bagels, and sandwiches so good you need them. Skip the snooze. Your breakfast is waiting for you at Great Harvest at the corner of Airport Way and Wilbur.
KFAR Weather.
Slight chance for showers this afternoon. Otherwise, a blend of clouds and sun. Highs around 69. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Slight chance for showers. Lows dip down to about 48. 74 tomorrow. A blend of clouds and sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have my oldest brother, Dane, in the studio with me here. We're going to go have lunch after this if we're still speaking to each other. But first, we're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Dana Pruse, and your name is?
My name's Al.
Al, what you up to?
What am I up to? You know, I need to have your brother to stop talking about state politics and give us the dirt on you.
That's going to happen right after this because he's requested that he gets to ask me some questions. So after your phone call, he's going to ask me questions.
We just want to know if he's still covering for you.
Well, certainly.
All right.
I appreciate your call, Al. You have a great day, buddy. Okay, so you have a question.
Well, sure, Dave. So, you know, you spent 3 years in the public sector running the city of Fairbanks and, you know, a couple terms on a city council. You're now back in, you know, 100% private life. How's it going? Your real estate? How's business? What do you think of the existing administration of the city? Decisions are being made.
Well, how about that? Well, okay. I'm very happy to be back being a real estate broker. I never left being a real estate broker. And even though I was an elected official, I was never a politician. I was always and I'm always a real estate broker. Whenever I walk into a room, I'm a real estate broker. I'm a Pruse. I'm a Fairbankson. Proud Fairbankson. Proud, very proud being a Pruse, being, you know, raised by our parents. I'm enjoying the heck out of myself, having a great time, working hard. I was in the office this morning at 7 a.m., but I was still able to get over and see Emily and drop her off some wonderful over there. And I get that. I'm able to do that 2-3 times a week because I'm a real estate broker, have my own time frames and my own job, and I work from 7 a.m. to sometimes 7 p.m. like last night. And I'm, you know, no matter what, I'm 365, 24/7, 365 when I was the mayor and a real estate broker. And that's how I am. I'm like you, Dana. I'm always doing something. I'm enjoying my life on the board of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and on Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services. So I'm involved in that on a non-paid basis. The current administration at the city hall, you know, she... Hopefully it gets weaned, but she brought over the attitude from the borough assembly that they doesn't like working well with others, so to speak. And hopefully she's getting through that. She's being weaned off that. She's got to, you know, she doesn't communicate that well with our city council, and it's readily apparent. And there's a lot of bickering back and forth. It's not as fluent as it could be. She had no background working with the city council. She came over from the borough assembly. So hopefully over time, over the next years, 2 or 3, that happens. And so I got a text one time from a member down there with the city about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was just getting tired of all the phone calls or all the texts. I wish you were here. I wish you were here. This, and that. I got a text from the city of Fairbanks, and it's basically I wish success for this mayor. I'm tired of all the issues that I'm hearing about. I'm working and living in peace. I'm enjoying myself. I'm doing very good, but whatever I do, I try and do well. If I'm not doing well today, tomorrow morning when I get up, I'll be doing better. Simple as that. Hopefully, this mayor and this city council starts working better together for the betterment of Fairbanks. I'm very proud of my 3 years on the city council. 6 years on the city council, 3 years as the mayor. Did a lot of stuff. Cleaned up this town a lot. Really jump-started this town. And people reminded me of that. this morning as I was buying treats for Emily, a lady introduced herself to me, and she thanked me for the wonderful, rousing speech, inspirational speech that I gave to Dave Winfield when he came to get his thing. So I've been very fortunate. How's that for a question?
Well,
answer?
That's a long answer, David. I'll just let
you
know that.
I'm a retired politician. I was getting it out of my system.
Well, I guess so. So let me put it in perspective.
Watch it now. Fairbanks, we might have to fight.
There is a big, at least I can say, under your leadership of mayor and the prior mayors before you, I think it was Jim Matherly.
Yeah, very fine person.
Yeah. When I compare Fairbanks, city of Fairbanks, with the municipality of Anchorage, it's night and day.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion and a lot of people's opinion in Anchorage is it's a train wreck in Anchorage. You know, it was actually it was nice to see the Fairbanks council people and the mayors, whether left or right, work together for the betterment of Fairbanks. It's almost a lost art in today's world. You know, politics is becoming more of a contact sport, which is unfortunate. I don't think anybody thinks it wishes ill will on their community. But it seems to be digressing and that's, I'm very proud of Fairbanks doing that and congratulate you but your predecessors, and you have to work with the city council to get things done. So it's just not one person, it's a team. So I ask you that because, you know, you've been out of the mayor's seat now for a few months, almost, 6 months, 8 months?
Yeah, about nine
months.
Eight months, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there is a life after that for everybody. You know, my suggestion is that, you know, you've got a lot of institutional knowledge. There's new generations that could benefit from that knowledge, David.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, would take on the added responsibility of maybe, you know, helping, you know, running for a public office and serving the people of their community. And I think you're in a very unique position to help mentor the next generations of Fairbanksons.
I have been doing that for a while.
Yeah,
before so. I was mayor. And there's as Dad taught us, you help the next generation. You're always looking for talent. You're a finder and minder of talent. You're looking for the next one, and you give them the opportunities to learn and succeed. And I do that. I've done that.
It's unfortunate though when, you know, people, you know, you got to have, you know, in government, even in business, though, you got to have some kind of thick skin,
wide shoulders, and a broad butt.
It's very competitive.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, you're competing against somebody in the private sector or in the public sector, but did you see them at the grocery store? You go to the same church, your school, you're at the same function. You know, hell, your kids could even be dating each other for all you know. I mean, that's kind of unique, and I think that's great. And I think Fairbanks is probably the poster child of that positive influence in the state.
Yeah.
Versus Anchorage.
You know, it was interesting when I was walking the dog yesterday, Kramer's Field, how many people I came across that I knew. Just out in the afternoon walking at Kramer's Field. And here in Fairbanks, it's a very, what I'd call, tight community.
Well, the difference between you and I is when people ask me, are you related to David? I say no.
And they say, are you related to Dana? I say, oh, he spells his name differently.
Yeah, that's right.
he's actually what's his real name?
Yeah.
So, but it's fun. Do you like Anchorage?
You know, it's changed. You know, it was a great opportunity for business. But
it is a financial capital of Alaska.
It's changed. It's you know, I'm sad to see some of the, you know, degradation of some of the assets infrastructure that Anchorage has, and some of the policies it's gone off on is I'm not particularly fond of. You know, I'm a firm believer. Again, I go back to, you know, you work hard to bring opportunity for Alaskans, and the easy part is figuring out where to take that opportunity and make it better. And Anchorage is actually losing people, losing it to the valley or going south to lower 48, And for some reason, the leadership in that community has not addressed that issue. You know, there's closing schools, which a lot of places they are, but more so in Anchorage. They're closing schools. The infrastructure is actually getting worn out. And they don't. And no one said, well, why are people leaving? Well, you know, why are the young people leaving?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I say it's because they don't see opportunity.
And the cost of living is so high to stay.
Yeah, when we were in school, high school, college, or whatever, you're not, trades, we saw opportunity. We invested in our community, Alaska,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's Fairbanks, Anchorage, or the Valley, or wherever, Southeast. Today, it's not the same. If you can't provide opportunity for the next generation, they won't stick around. It's unfortunate, but you know, they have to go make a living. And I kind of look at Anchorage. You know, the housing down there is so expensive for a starting out couple. They can have a condo and apartment, but you know, we want a snow machine, we want a boat, we want a cross country ski.
We
want a lifestyle. That's why you live in Alaska. And so they go to the valley or they move out of state.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Hmm. What's your daughter doing? The real boss, the real power behind the throne.
Every day she gives me orders.
And the dog?
And I follow them. She's doing great. She's a project manager at the company. And
you created her, man.
Yeah. She's way brighter than I will ever be, which, thank goodness.
I know.
And it's fun to see.
You know, I always tell the people that mom was the smartest. And sometimes, you know, certain things skip a generation.
Yeah.
And that book smart intelligence level.
Well, definitely skipped it in my family.
Yeah, but Danner got it.
Yep, yeah, she's a good kid.
Yeah.
Not a kid, she's 30-some years old now.
I know, my goodness.
I know.
So what are you going to be working on this summer?
I've got a couple projects. One, we're going to tear up half of downtown Anchorage, so that'll get everybody excited.
Everyone's going to be mad at you.
Oh, yeah.
So I am not Dana Pruse's brother.
Some work in the valley.
I have no idea who Pruse Corporation is.
Yeah, work in the valley.
They're from Seattle.
Eagle River and busy season, try to keep people going and our people employed. That's the goal of any business owner.
How many people do you have right now?
Oh, gosh. 50, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what trades do you pull them out of?
Well, so, you know, we have operators, we have laborers, project managers, truck drivers, surveyors. And, you know, traffic control folks, mechanics,
okay.
You know, oilers, crusher operators, you know, that gamut.
Well, we got about a minute left. How do you want to end it, sir?
Well, I appreciate you not beating me up too bad.
There's no blood on the purple.
Yeah, good to visit with you on the radio and keep it up. And
now,
looking forward to a very expensive lunch you're buying for me.
Oh, boy. So you like Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Greatly appreciate my brother Dana coming into town here. And I'm very fortunate. I stayed in the town that I grew up and loved, and I get to see, I speak with my two brothers at least once, if not twice a week, and they still give me orders. They still give me orders. You know, there's always that older brother
mentality. You're the youngest. You got to take them.
There's always that older brother mentality that I've done well combating, I must say. Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you on Friday. I do not have a scheduled person yet, but it'll be fun. You take care.